soul. Hot ticks, flying phones ringing, Nevin's yelling, no! Tiki's laughing, chaos cracking, nobody's in control. It's Cinco de Roncho. Bam! Crunch! Let's go!
Oh, happy leftover lunch day from all those football treats, everyone. It's a Monday lunch hour. Cinco de Luncho is brought to you by Helix Wireless, connecting everything, everywhere. We had arguably the best wild card weekend of all time. I think you can make the case for that. Certainly Saturday felt like the best wild card singular day in a long time. So I'm just going to rank the games in order, the best games of wild card weekend. And of course, we still have one more tonight.
Here we go!
Number five.
We're all tired for Chargers-Pats, let's be honest. Now, it still was a three-point game at halftime, but no scoring. It's dead last, worst game of the weekend.
Yeah, that was the tryptophan game. You know, we ate all the turkey, we had all this great meal, and I am still not in love with the Sunday night playoff game. I kind of know they have to do it, considering the amount of games we have. And then you combine it with the fact that the game sucked, and it never even felt close, despite it being a one-score game, because the Charger offense was so pathetic and so immovable. And then, obviously, there was no drama in the final few minutes, so that's an easy number five.
All right, here we go.
Number four.
I'm putting the 49er-Eagle game here, and I think it's because of the other four games, this was the only time, or the first time before Chargers-Pats, that the team to lead at the two-minute warning hung on and won.
And as
the other three games did that.
As soon as that graphic went on the board, I knew the Eagles weren't coming back.
Yeah. It felt like that, right?
That was the ultimate,
Yes, of course.
Because the graphic came up and said, every game this weekend, the team leading at the two-minute warning is lost. As soon as that happened, I was like, wow, all right.
Now, I do think we might look back at this game a little more importantly historically. I kind of think, and a lot of people don't realize it yet, that might be the beginning of the end for this Eagle team.
Sean, I love you, and I appreciate your hatred for the Eagles, and I appreciate all your attempts to troll Eagle fans last night. Let me just tell you what's going to happen. I'm going to spoil it for you. They're going to get a new OC, just like they did 2 years ago. It'll be a good hire. The Eagles will win the division, and they'll probably be in the Super Bowl next year. It's rinse and repeat with the Eagles.
Yeah.
Until it's not. Until it's not.
But think about 23 and what
happened. They have such good talent.
They do.
Like Saquon rushed for 100 yards. Devontae Smith was good. A.J. Brown was okay, but the drops were worrisome. Jalen Hurts, he was okay.
You know what else they have? And this is where Sean can't argue. Howie Roseman versus Joe Shane. Drop the mic.
First of all, I'm not even arguing Joe Shane. This could be the Cowboys. This could be the Commanders. My point is the Eagles are going to lose, or they're going to get rid of A.J. Brown, which could be a positive for them.
Mm-hmm.
Saquon's another year older. You saw Lane Johnson get hurt. He's getting older. You saw they couldn't even do the tush-push as much down the stretch with the interior of their offensive line, and the bill is going to start to become due with some of these tolling contracts.
This sounds like Evan in 2010 talking about the Patriots.
Fine.
Meanwhile, the dynasty had nine more years left.
It sounds crazy until you realize you were right. Okay. All right, here we go.
Number three.
I'm going Bills-Jags, and I think I'm punishing this game for being 1 o'clock in the afternoon because it was fantastic, but it felt like it took me a little while to get supercharged and invested into this, but it was a wild and wacky fourth quarter with lead changes.
That's my number one game. I'm stunned that you put that at three.
But think now, okay, now this is where we're going to have the argument of perception. You watched the Saturday night games, the Saturday games, not in real time. You just mentioned you had all that other family stuff going on.
Don't use DVR as an excuse.
No, because I do think it's
you're
true.
Right. The Saturday games were outstanding.
So let's get to that.
Number two.
Rams-Panthers. And the reason I'm bumping this ahead of Bills-Jags is this was a 10.5-point underdog where that team who was dogs was on the verge of a major upset and had the lead under 2 minutes. Now, did I think the Rams were winning at the end? Of course I did. But that comeback, starting with McVay's decision on 4th-and-3 to go for it and not get it, that was insanity. Like, we were on the verge of one of the big NFL postseason upsets of all time until we weren't, which is why I put it ahead of that game.
Okay, keep going.
All right, and last but not least.
Number one.
It's Packers-Bears. The comeback was epic. And anytime the comeback is that sweet, it's got to go up there. It's a rivalry game. I know I say I want domes. It's in Chicago. It's a Saturday night. Fans going nuts. Like, that was as an emotional great playoff game as I've seen in a long time. How could I not make it the best of the weekend?
So this is the debate of what's if like, I'm talking to a wrestling fan. Is the better WrestleMania the one that had the best main event or the best card? Like, the entire show. The entire show of Jacksonville-Buffalo was the best game of the weekend because it was never a two-score game. The biggest deficit of the game, if I'm not mistaken, was always 4 points. So it was always not only a one-possession game, Teague.
Yeah.
It was always close. And so, unfortunately, what happened in the Chicago-Green Bay game, as great of a game as it was, and yes, it wins for best ending, 1,000%. There were people who probably shut the game off.
See, I don't get that. When the Packers,
not me, but I'm sure people did.
When the Packers missed that field goal to end the half, at least everybody I was with, you just sense it. The Bears are winning this game, aren't they?
No,
and that's the feel it had at halftime.
Yeah, the Bears just, because they were this way all season long. Like, if you don't know the Bears, you're like, yeah, the game's over. But if you watch the Bears
all
year.
Cardiac Bears all year.
All season long. Yeah. They just found, even the Giants game was the same thing. Like, they found ways to come back and win football games.
But,
and so you knew it wasn't over, even if it felt like they have no chance to come back against the Green Bay Packers. A team that knows them, just beat them, whatever it was, week 16, I think that game was, of the regular season, which led to the handshake thing that happened after this one, where it was so quick because
he didn't want to get patted on the back
because LaFleur did the same thing to him
in
the week 16 week. I love the drama between these coaches, but like, I didn't think the Bears game was over. In fact, I knew that they would some way mount this thing closer.
I didn't think it was over, but in both the Ram-Panther game and the Chicago-Green Bay game, there was a point in which it felt like this could turn into a blowout. When the Rams went up 14-0 early, I thought it was going to be a blowout. I was convinced, all right, this is over.
Right.
Now, did they both turn into wildly entertaining games? Absolutely. I'm not putting them down. But I thought pound per pound, if you're judging the entire 3 hours, Jacksonville-Buffalo was the winner. And it also gave you a great ending. It's not like the ending sucked. It gave you the debate that we're still having today on the show about, do you kneel? Do you go for it? Do you score the touchdown? Like, I honestly think, and again, it's a great weekend. I mean, we're picking between beautiful things. I would say Buffalo, Jacksonville's number one. I'd put Chicago, Green Bay, two.
Yeah.
I don't want to penalize it for the first half not being entirely close, or the first three quarters not being close. But
Evan, honestly,
for the full 3 hours, man, it's Jacksonville, Buffalo, bro.
If you put the same plays, same score, same everything, but you put them in Bills and Packers uniforms at night at Soldier Field, I'm probably with you. I think that Jacksonville's getting punished because it's Jacksonville at 1 o'clock, and it's not a rivalry game.
And the other thing, just to defend myself on being on DVR, the thing about DVR, because I heard Craig giving Big Mac a tough time for this, and I actually agree with Craig, because Big Mac went to sleep and didn't watch the national championship semifinal game, the classic between the U and Ole Miss, which I don't know how he fell asleep during that game.
Yeah,
fell asleep. He's got to wake up no time early.
I know.
Did he fall asleep or just didn't watch it?
Maybe it was a combo. When you watch something the next day, I agree with you. Like, it loses something. I was watching something on delay. Like, at 11 o'clock at night or midnight is still fresh. To me, it feels like it's happening. So I never lose anything just because I'm a few hours late. If it's the next day and I already know the result, I completely agree with you. I think you lose something, and sometimes I do that. I prefer not to. But when it's a few hours late and it's still the night of, I don't lose an ounce of it.
You say that, Evan, but you do one of two things when you watch sports these days. Either you're watching a game with somebody, or if you're watching by yourself, be honest, every commercial break, maybe you check in the online, scroll social media, like, everything was a buzz, no matter where you were. You lost all of that by watching that game on delay and being distracted from the world.
Disagree.
Okay.
But we're learning. Sean and I are learning. We disagree, and now we're going
to
move on.
Yeah, because the audience doesn't need to hear us bicker. We got a half an hour less on the show. Let's keep moving. Speaking of which, Evan, how about this? The Fan Focus is sponsored by Chef IQ. Precision cooking, effortless results, chefiq.com.